the absolute indifference, the avarice, incompetence, your arrogance, your ignorance, your greed.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out our website, thericksmithshow.com. So back on August 8th, the American Legislative Exchange Council, or ALEC, held their 45th annual little soiree into, hey, how are they going to divvy up the country? How are they going to pass and push legislation that's going to benefit them? You know, how are they going to use, well, the money of the billionaires to get them more? And it's one of these moments where you go, you know, we've become aware of ALEC because of a number of groups. One of those groups, the Center for Media and Democracy, who has done a fantastic job with their ALEC exposed pieces. And here to talk a little bit about the latest, the 45th legislative thing there by ALEC. I've asked Mary Baturi to come talk with us. She's a reporter with the Center for Media and Democracy. Mary, thanks for taking time for us.
No problem.
So what did we find out? What's on the table? What are we going to lose in the next legislative session if ALEC gets their way? How bad is it going to be?
Well, it's bad, as usual. ALEC had its 45th annual meeting of legislators and corporate lobbyists at the Swank Hilton in New Orleans last week, and they came up with a number of ALEC bills. New ALEC bills that will spread out through the country, and folks, you know, facing these bills in the states won't know the names of the corporate lobbyists and the corporate pushing these bills. So it comes as no surprise that they have new anti-union measures, along with right to work and paycheck protection. They're introducing a new measure that sort of relies on a bill by a guy named Richard Berman, and you know Berman.
Dr. Evil.
Dr. Evil has popped up front group after front group, attacking wages, attacking the minimum wage, attacking unions. And he's long pushed a measure at the federal level to force unions to recertify every few years with a vote of a majority of the members in the unit. So not just the majority of those voting, but a majority of those in the unit.
Right. So that every person who doesn't vote, it's a no vote.
That's right. And so they're pushing this version of the bill, which will reach into states and cause further damage in the states. It's a very strange bill. I mean, imagine a bill forcing sort of the unseating of corporate directors if the majority of all shareholders, not just those casting ballots, didn't vote. Or uncertifying a corporation if you can't mobilize all those shareholders to vote. So that's what they're putting on the table at ALEC, and that's one of the many damaging bills.
No, they don't run out of bad ideas, do they?
No, they don't. So another bad idea is that they'll be considering, they considered for the first time, something called the Uniform Worker Classification Act. And this is a type of bill that promotes short-term contracts and freelance work over permanent jobs. And the resolution forces sort of a uniform standard for defining who is an employee and who is an independent contractor. And it gives a very, very broad definition of an independent contractor. And, of course, what that means for a lot of employees is they are missing a lot of protections under wage and hour laws. They're missing protections for overtime work. They're missing protections for workman's comp if they're injured on the job. They're missing civil rights protections because they're not formally an employee of the company. So, you know, while companies like Uber and Lyft and TaskRabbit are definitely changing the American job market, you know, they're really generating low-paying jobs with few or no benefits. And ALEC, by passing this bill, is sort of promoting that type of economy and tearing down the sort of traditional economy that has provided protections for workers across the board.
Right, and this is kind of just a preemption of, because I know people on the left who are saying, you know, we need to strengthen employment laws. We need to figure out how to stop with all this gig employment and this independent contractor misclassification. So this is kind of, you know, quickly hurrying up in a way, you know, putting into law all of the horrible stuff before anyone can try and strengthen how bad our labor laws are today.
No, that's right. And they're reacting to cities and states, like, for instance, New York State has taken steps to regulate the driver industry after six professional drivers killed themselves. And drivers for hire and taxi drivers say they're not making enough money to pay their bills to support their family. So the New York Unemployment Board ruled recently that Uber and Lyft drivers are formal employees of the company. And then you probably know that Seattle gave Uber and Lyft drivers the right to organize a union. So Alex is moving forward trying to preempt the cities from doing those sort of smart, you know, high road type strategies by passing this sort of low road type bill.
And where do we expect these bills to pop up? I mean, are we expecting them in a majority of the states? You know, where's the first place we expect this to pop up? Because I want to make sure that whoever puts it forth, we can target and we know who it is and make sure that they took their name off the bill. Because we've seen in the past some people put ALEC legislation in and still leave the ALEC name on it. But you know, where are we expecting the first ones of these to fall?
Well, they're going to be in these red states like Wisconsin, where you have a trifecta of Republicans, like Governor Walker and is the head of the executive branch. And then we have an ALEC Republican is the head of the Senate and an ALEC Republican is the head of the Assembly. So we'll see them popping up in states like that. Then there's a trade association that's peddling these bills at ALEC, and it's called the Net Choice Trade Association. And if you're an activist in your state, you need to keep an eye on the trade association pushing those kinds of bills.
And what was the name of that again?
Net Choice.
Oh, because you got to throw a choice in there, right?
Right. You know, these companies with brand names, they're susceptible to boycotts and pressure and complaints, hide behind their trade association. So no one's ever heard of this thing called Net Choice, but that's the lobbyist that you probably keep an eye on in your state.
Yeah, I'm sure it's coming because, you know, even the people who would associate with ALEC, you know, they're kind of, you know, pulling back because, you know, we don't want to be associated with, or at least here in Pennsylvania, because I've asked a number of Republican legislators over the years, do you go to these things? Are you associated? Do you get anything from them? And I always get the, no, we don't do that here. And you know they
That's
do.
That's right.
You know they do.
You know they do. And so then you'll also be thrilled to know that ALEC invited Mark Janus, the plaintiff in the Janus versus AFSCME case.
Yeah. Well, he's their new
toy.
Decided
by the U.S. Supreme Court to be a keynote speaker.
Well, he's their new toy.
He's their new toy, and he's, of course, stopped being an employee for the state of Illinois, and he's become a sort of puppet of this right-wing machine, which includes ALEC and State Policy Network. He's gone to work for a State Policy Network institution called the Illinois Policy Institute. And so for a while, he'll be a puppet of that machine. I doubt that they will permanently employ him for the rest of his career. So he should enjoy his time in Coke world.
Yeah, I'm hoping it's short-lived. I'll tell you, I'm hoping that that they kick him to the curb real soon.
It could be. He's not the most riveting speaker. But he came to the ALEC meeting and it was sort of a victory lap for this whole structure of institutions that have been funded by the Koch brothers, that have been funded by the Bradley Foundation, that have been funded by the Sterling Foundation for years to basically attack unions for purely partisan political purposes. And so they had that little victory lap down at ALEC in New Orleans this year.
Yeah, I mean, that's just expected. Expected. I mean, they won. They had their victory, and you knew they were going to continue. Outside of the labor and employment world, what else are we expecting? You know, we're going to make gerrymandering great, yes?
Oh, that's right. How could I forget? So they had a funny bill down there to declare that it is the job of the legislature to set legislative districts. And this is, of course, is a direct reaction to your lawsuit out in Pennsylvania that challenged partisan gerrymandering and resulted in the courts doing a fairer redraw of the map to more fairly represent the voters of the state of Pennsylvania. And so, anyways, we dubbed that the right gerrymander resolution. They're facing pressure, really, in the courts across the country, not just the Pennsylvania Supreme Court, which did the right thing in that instance. But we had a federal court here in Wisconsin rule that our state was so hyper-partisan gerrymandering that it was unconstitutional on numerous grounds. And other federal courts have come to this kind of decision. I mean, this was not like some lefty, hippie, Wisconsin court. This is a court with two Republicans on the three-judge panel, or two judges who had been appointed by Republicans, and they decided that this gerrymandering and rigging the system was so egregious that it would permanently sort of disadvantage Democrats in a very slanted way. And so a lot of these lawsuits are still alive. They're still, the lawyers are still working to try and get fairer maps. And it was pretty amusing that Alec decided to stand up for the right to gerrymander.
But not surprising.
But not surprising.
No, I mean, look, I mean, this is them getting what they want. It's the power. It's the control. But as I understand, it's not all paradise. It's, not all roses and sunshine. There's actually some dissent going on. Or am I getting that wrong?
No, there was quite a bit of infighting at ALEC, especially in the energy task force, where you have many different types of energy providers, so the old fossil fuel, coal, and petroleum guys, with newer gas guys, and with even newer renewable energy guys. They were battling out the policies that they would support in this meeting, because Alec has really taken a far, far right position. I mean, they're against renewable energy. Like, who's against renewable energy? It's creating so many clean jobs. It's creating so many green jobs. You can have fossil fuels and all these other fuels and renewable energy at the same time. It seems sort of crazy to be against the good stuff. So there's been some infighting there, and it prompted long-term member ExxonMobil to quit ALEC recently. And ExxonMobil's been funded ALEC to the tunes of millions of dollars. It's been on board for years and years and years. And it just thought that some of the policies that ALEC was promoting here were even too crazy for them.
Wow.
So that continues to be, there continues to be a lot of sturm and drang around those policy matters at ALEC.
So it's not all rainbows and cloudy skies or smoggy skies.
It's not. Chris Taylor, who is a Wisconsin representative here in Madison, she goes to ALEC meetings every year just to keep an eye on them. And she said it was one of the most contentious, showing the most disarray in ALEC that she's ever seen. And she wrote an article about this at our website, exposedbycmc.org. But what particularly struck her, and the thing that got her a little exercised, was that a guy named David Horowitz, who's not well known in right-wing circles, he has a think tank called the Freedom Center out in California. He's best known as a mentor to Trump's Stephen Miller, who's the architect of his anti-immigration policies. David Horowitz was out there saying all sorts of horrible things, extremely racist and sexist things.
Well, that's what he does.
That's what he does. But it was for Chris Taylor, who's been at these meetings for a long time, it was really a rather sort of shocking turn. His job was to be there to promote a constitutional convention to rewrite the Constitution in, a way that the Koch brothers would like. And they've had many, many, many panels on this topic, and all of a sudden up pops this guy who the Southern Poverty Law Center has called, you know, I think years and years and years because of his anti-immigrant, anti-Muslim views. And he was spouting these things from the stage, and she stood up to confront him. So there's her article about this is also at Exposed by CNN. And we say, ooh, sort of not very good turn for Alex to now, in addition to all his controversial policies, to be actively embracing these issues. They say that they're only about public policy. They say that they don't want to get into the social issues. So, for instance, there's no ALEC abortion bills. There's no gay marriage bills, those right. kinds of things. But to give this guy such a prominent role at this meeting was a change for ALEC and something that people should take note of.
Yeah, it's scary. But, you know, here's the other scary part. There are only three governors away from being able to hold a constitutional convention and ram through whatever it is they want.
Right. And so now imagine this guy rewriting the convention.
Yeah.
I mean, the Constitution. You have your anti-Muslim plank and your anti-immigrant plank. And your anti-Muslim plank. It would just be ridiculous.
That's crazy. And look, I'm hoping your state of Wisconsin finds its way to sanity and ousts Scott Walker, because you guys just had your primary yesterday. And I was kind of sad Malin Mitchell didn't win. I would have liked to seen him run as governor. But you got a guy I think is pretty good, too.
We had a lot of great candidates. I was just here at an event tonight where I talked to 10 people who are voting for five different candidates and you know, really rigorous discussion. So we were lucky to have many different candidates. But in that kind of crowded field, a candidate who's run many times makes its way out. And so Wisconsin nominated Tony Evers, who's long been our school superintendent, who's battled Walker over school vouchers, and he's battled Walker over slash funding, and he's battled Walker over teacher certification, and he's a big supporter of working people in the education system. He's run a giant education system in Wisconsin with 1,000 employees and many hundreds of thousands of children. And he's really committed to the education issue. He knows how to talk to rural voters. He's run twice statewide. He's won with massive majorities, I think 70% in his last race. And so he will be the person that takes on Scott Walker in the fall. Scott Walker's poll numbers show him as being very vulnerable, and there's a lot of Walker fatigue, not just, of course, in the Democratic side, but also on the Republican side. So we're hoping that a common-sense sort of person like Tony Evers, who's not a hysteric, he's very calm, he's very steady, and very informed, will motivate voters. At least that's what the Democrats are hoping.
Oh, that's what I think. I'm hoping it, because it would be nice to see, Wisconsin be the place where sanity begins to revive itself, and maybe that can spread across the country as a lot of these bad ideas have. And finally, the last one I wanted to get to. Evidently, there's going to be another resolution coming out of the ALEC meeting on the Parkland shootings and on the school shootings. What were your thoughts of it?
Oh, that was really funny. They have a 2,000 or so word policy about school safety. They mentioned the word guns once. And, whatever your feelings are about the Second Amendment, whether you hunt or you don't hunt or whatever, I mean, clearly these high-powered semi-automatic rifles are a problem that need to be part of a school policy program, a school safety program. But the other interesting news out of Wisconsin came last night is that State Senator Leah Buchmeier came from behind to knock off Kevin Nicholson in the GOP U.S. Senate primary against Tammy Baldwin. And Leah Buchmeier, you might remember, was the treasurer of ALEC and then the vice president of ALEC, and then she was the national chairwoman of ALEC in 2016. She was even given an award as ALEC's Iron Lady in 2017, and she will be taking on Tammy Baldwin. So this is a legislator here in Wisconsin who has introduced model bill after model bill after model bill from ALEC to, believe it or not, crush wages, bust unions, rip away health care from people, and do a whole bunch of other things. So the battle lines couldn't be clearer between Leah Vukmir and Tammy Baldwin. This really is one of the Koch brothers' favorite people in the United States. And she will be out there trying to knock off Baldwin. My organization, the Center for Media Democracy, paid her in 2013 because she was clearly at an ALEC meeting. She was tweeting about it and talking about it. She had clearly introduced a bill at the ALEC meeting to take away health care from people. And we wanted to know more about it. So we did an open records request under our state's open records law. And she told us she didn't have anything responsive to the request, as if she hadn't been at the ALEC meeting, as if she hadn't introduced the bill, as if she had any conversations with anyone in ALEC. So we sued her, and we won a big lawsuit against her. The judge was so angry at her for not even looking for her emails to be responsive to our request that she applied unprecedented punitive damages to her. And amusingly enough, all these years later, this lawsuit has come up in attack ads by friends of her opponents attacking her for being against Wisconsin Open Records. So it's ridiculous when dark money groups are all of a sudden for open records in order to make, you know, score political points. But at the same thing, at the same time, it was funny for us to see our lawsuit featured in this race. And there's no doubt it will come up again as they move forward into the fall, the contrast between Leah Vukmir and U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin.
Interesting, interesting, interesting stuff. And I'm sure as it goes down the road, we'll have you back and we can bang it around some more. But Mary, I appreciate the time and the thoughts. Keep up the great work there.
Thank you for having me. We'll talk soon.
Good stuff. Mary Bateri. Again, check out their website, exposedbycmd.org. We'll get links out to make sure people can take a look at the fantastic work they do. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. Listen to The Rick Smith Show.